Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. It's PA here, Pastor Adam Burt. And as always, I hope you have your cup of joe and your Bible. You're going to need to have a venti today, biggie size, your coffee, tea, or beverage of choice, because we're going to go through an entire book of the Bible. Now, before you panic, it's the book of Jonah. It's only four chapters long, 48 verses in total. It would take me about 8 minutes if I was to read the whole thing to you this morning. But since science has told us that humanity, now today, we're so unbelievably distracted that science says that I can only hold your attention for 8 seconds at a clip. And so if it was going to take 8 minutes to read the book, we're not going to do that. So we're going to piece this thing together little by little, and I'm going to highlight some verses to you. But in the end, I pray that you come to this conclusion: oh my goodness, I'm Jonah. And that's where we're headed this morning. But before we do, February is Black History Month, and we want to take a moment to celebrate Black history. And I got to tell you, we are celebrating. I just learned about the coolest person. This guy was the Lone Ranger before the Lone Ranger, and his name is none other than Bass Reeves. Hope you'll enjoy this.
Bass Reeves was an African American born into slavery in Arkansas, and from all accounts fought in the Civil War. During that time, learned quite a skill of being a marksman, a gunman. He could shoot ambidextrously with both hands at the same level, and his shot became legendary. I'm sure that was part of the reason that Judge Parker and some of the deputies picked up on him. There's a lot of conjecture that he was the first Black deputy marshal west of the Mississippi River, but no matter what, he was the first prominent U.S. deputy marshal as an African American. It was such an area that was just so lawless, and these lawmen were out there for weeks and months on their own trying to bring these outlaws back. And of course, that was quite a scene when the lawmen were bringing in these characters into Fort Smith. Town would, you know, come a buzz. Here comes Bass, bringing his group in, and let's see who he got this time. There was a huge demand for a railroad to enter Indian territory. There was a small settlement near here called Agency. So they moved the depot into town, and within one day, Muskogee was born. First night Muskogee was born, it had a murder. The population was starting to explode in Indian territories. More and more people were coming here. It just made logical sense to establish a federal court in the territory. The lawmen that were on Fort Smith, most of them, or a good portion of them, migrated over here to Muskogee. In 1897, a U.S. Marshal, Leo Bennett, he was assigned to be a marshal, and he selected his first group, and he picks a Justice League of the time period of lawmen, including Bud Ledbetter and Bass Reeves and many of them. We know Bass had been here to Muskogee on several occasions, we know that, but this has now become Bass's home, and he's not a young gentleman at this point in time, but he made his mark almost immediately here. He was serving in law enforcement out of the marshal's office from 1897 into statehood. So it was a 10-year period. 1907 was statehood. It was the end of an era for, you know, these lawmen, because they had been the primary law enforcement officers in Indian Territory for so long. After his service, he became a policeman, again, 70 years old, with a cane, walking these streets, and he was a lawman here until he could no longer physically become a lawman. His death is interesting to me in the fact of the interest in him. I mean, here is an African American during the time of Jim Crow laws, during the time of a lot of racial prejudice, and here we are hearing reports in the newspaper, they would say legendary lawman Bass Reeves is being watched over and sick. And we didn't see things like that. And then his death was in newspapers, not only Muskogee, but throughout Indian Territory.
Now, if this sounds familiar, it's because it's believed that Bass Reeves could have been the real-life inspiration for the fabled hero of the Old West, the Lone Ranger.
Was Bass Reeves, African-American lawman, was the Lone Ranger story based on him? Of course, okay, Bass rode a white horse. He was a master of disguises. He would trick people. That was really his nature. And that's, I think, some of the Lone Ranger element has come out of some of those stories. I think it's kind of a little far-fetched, and it, to me, it kind of takes away the element of who really Bass Reeves was. He was not a fictional character. This is true stuff, really, when we get into it. He was really a truly American hero. He spanned a really interesting period of time and fought racial prejudice. It was against a lot of odds, but he succeeded. We're very proud here in Muskogee to call him a Muskogee resident and really a hero of our community.
Was that story about Bass Reeves amazing? An American hero and a pretty cool dude too. So listen, we're going to get into the Book of Jonah this morning. And so I'd like to open it up with a story. And so before the world shut down, I know I used to commute into Manhattan quite a bit. And so I would grab the DeKalb bus from Caldwell, New Jersey, and ride that thing all the way into New York. It was roughly about an hour's trip into Manhattan. And so I remember one morning, just, you know, super early in the morning, people are just stumbling onto the bus. And so I got my window seat kind of over there. And sure enough, a young lady comes in. And you can tell she was just kind of a little bit disheveled and just exhausted. She kind of like just rolled out of bed. And so she walks in and she sits down next to me. So I'm sure to move over a little bit here, make sure I don't fall into the no man's land of the armrest and whatnot. And so, but this woman digs into her purse and she unravels this tool belt of cosmetics and hangs it on the back of the seat in front of her. It was like, and there's just this row after row of beauty products and tools and all kinds of stuff. And this woman goes to work. And so she starts dialing stuff up. And then every now and then she would pause and she'd get her phone out and she would reverse the view on it and she would look at herself. She'd like, no, I got to dial this up and I got to dial that down. And she just goes to work. And this woman is just going, like doing everything until finally we pull into Port Authority. And this woman has transformed herself into another person. In fact, it was so impressive. The woman on the aisle next to her, she just looks over at her. She says, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before. Right. And so, but here's, I highlight all that to say this. Is that she had her phone was used as a mirror to see areas where she needs to dial it up and where she needs to dial it down. And you know, the Book of Jonah, it's actually a mirror for us to examine our life and to see areas where we need to dial it up and areas where we need to dial it down. And so we're going to be in the Book of Jonah here this morning. And do you know that actually Orthodox Jews, they would read the Book of Jonah on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It was one of the most holy feast days. It was a day of reflecting, fasting, repenting. And on that day, they would Orthodox Jews would read the Book of Jonah. And then at the end of the book, they would confess this, I'm Jonah. And that's where I hope we wind up today. And so I'm not going to read to you the whole Book of Jonah, but it would normally take 8 minutes. I'm going to give you an overview in less than two. You ready? Time me. Here we go. So Jonah is a prophet in the nation of Israel, and God sends Jonah to the enemies of Israel, the Ninevites. And our boy Jonah doesn't want to go. And so I don't know if God's ever asked you to do things you don't want to do. If he has, then guess what? You just might be Jonah. I don't know if there's people in this world that bug you, get on your nerves, and that you in no way want to pray for. And if that's you, then you might just be Jonah. And so God tells Jonah to go head east to Nineveh. And so what does Jonah do? He goes down to Joppa and due west to a place called Tarshish. And so I think we will show it here on the map. And so God tells him to go one way and Jonah pulls it, goes hard the other way, running away from God. And so here's something I've learned over my years is that if you want to run away from the purposes and the plans of God, do you know that there's always going to be a boat leaving for Tarshish? That there's always going to be a way you can distract yourself and head to Tarshish. You can find other people to agree with you and you can head to Tarshish. There's always a boat heading to Tarshish. But see, God has other plans for your life, and he did for Jonah as well. And so as Jonah boarded a boat from Joppa going to Tarshish, that God, he sent a great wind and then he sent a great storm. And so this boat was breaking apart. And the pagan fishermen were crying out to their gods. And then they saw Jonah not crying out. And they're like, why aren't you crying out to your God? And Jonah lets them know this. The problem with the storm is me. And Jonah has this moment of surrender. He tells the fishermen, the sailors, to throw him into the sea. And the moment they do, the waters calm and the storm ceases. See, and what would happen next is one thing we all know this part of the story. Is it's not a whale. It just says a great fish came and scooped up Jonah. And it was in this place, this dark place, that Jonah repented and turned back to Almighty God. And so Jonah gets a do-over. And so have you ever received a do-over from God? Like, I've received more do-overs than I know how to count. And so if you ever needed a do-over, you might be Jonah this morning. And then we know what happens, that the fish, it vomits Jonah up onto the shores of Nineveh. And as Jonah approaches Nineveh, he only speaks 8 words to the people of Nineveh. And here's what he says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And with those 8 simple words, everybody repents in Nineveh, that the king repents, the people repent. It even says that the livestock repents. And so there's this mass repentance, but then something scandalous happens in Jonah chapter 4. It says this, that Jonah was furious at God for forgiving the Ninevites, and he starts to pout. Have you ever pouted to the Lord? Have you ever been upset with God that he's not running the universe like you would like? If so, you might be Jonah. And the credits roll and the book ends with there. With Jonah upset at God for being merciful to sinful people? And that's where we'll pick it up. See, because you and I might be Jonah. We're going to look at three people in this. We're going to look at Jonah, the Ninevites, and the Lord. And as we examine the nature of their lives, I believe that we'll see that you and I might just be Jonah. And so, Lord, I pray you give us grace this morning as we gather around your word. Jonah chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. It says this, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And so here we see that Jonah was given a purpose and a destiny. He was called to be a prophetic voice to a sinful people. And listen, Jonah, the name Jonah, it means dove. The dove is symbolic, what the universal sign of peace and of the Holy Spirit. And that the son of Amittai, it means faithful. He was called the son of faithfulness, but yet he wasn't faithful in his mission and in his purpose. And you know what? The church, you and I, at times, we're Jonah. Like the church, we've been called by God to be a prophetic voice in the earth that filled with the Holy Spirit, we are to speak life into a sin-sick world. And so if I can just demystify the word like prophetic, do you know that Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, that the prophetic gift is simply doing this. It's edifying, exhorting, and consolating. It's consolation. And so in other words, if I could sum it up, that the prophetic word is a voice that builds up and it edifies. Solomon in the Proverbs. Solomon will say this in Proverbs 18:21. He's going to say this, that death and life are in the power of our tongue. If I can bring it back up to 2021, that death and life are in the power of the tweet, of the post, of the you fill in the blank. See, but death and life are in the power of our words and the words we choose to speak. And so you and I, as Christ followers, filled with the Spirit of God, we've been chosen by God to be that prophetic voice, to be life speakers into a sin-sick world. I can remember just the power of words washing over my daughter. My youngest daughter, Elizabeth, she was going through her difficult, like, kind of teenage years where you're not really a young woman yet, but you're not a little girl anymore, and just all those different things. And as a parent, it can be a very helpless feeling. And we had one of her girlfriends was a practicing Catholic, and she actually asked if she could take Elizabeth on a retreat. And so we said, absolutely. And I love her youth group leader actually said, hey, could you do this? Could you secretly talk to all the people in Elizabeth's world and get them to write words of encouragement to her? And so we called everyone we knew that knew Elizabeth, and they hand wrote letters to her, and we got them from all over the country, and we gathered them together and we gave them to her counselor. And as they went on this retreat, it was there that they had an evening where they began to read these letters of people that they haven't heard from in years, but yet loved her. And these words of life began to wash over her. And you know what? It was something that was soothing to her soul. It was something that brought security in really an unshaky time. It's the power of our tongue and of our words, that death and life are in their power. And I choose to be a life speaker, that you and I, that we can have an opposite spirit to the spirit of this world. That with all the negativity and cynicism and criticism, that we can choose an opposite spirit, that where there's in a hopeless and an uncertain time, we can speak hope into this thing. In a dark time in people's life, we can speak life. That in a time of death and a fear of death, we can speak life over and into people. See, you and I, like Jonah, we're called to be a prophetic people. And so, unfortunately, I don't always, sometimes I live my life a lot more like Jonah, right? I have words of life and yet don't speak them out. Notice this too, that Jonah, he's so unbelievably aware of the sin of the Ninevites, but he's so unbelievably blind to the sin in his own life. And you know what? Sometimes I'm Jonah. How about you? See, Jesus is going to say this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. He says, why is it that you're worried about the speck in your brother's eye, and yet you seem blind to the log that's in your very own eye? And so, in the book of Jonah, as we begin to read it, do you know that everything obeys God except for Jonah, the man of God? Like the great wind obeys God, that the storm obeys God, that we get the great fish obeys God, that the Ninevites obey God, that there's a plant that obeys God, a worm that obeys God. Everybody obeys God except for the man of God, Jonah. See, sometimes I'm a lot like Jonah. How about this, that everyone is quick to respond to repent. That you get the Ninevites, they repent after 8 words. That the pagan fishermen, they repent at the moving of the storm. That even the livestock repent in Nineveh. But what does it take for Jonah, the man of God, to repent? It takes a great wind, a great storm, and a great fish just to get him to humble himself and repent before the Lord. And sometimes I can be a little bit like Jonah. How about you? Do you know in John chapter 8, we read of a story of Jesus, and they throw a woman caught in the very act of adultery at the feet of Jesus, and a mob gathers, and they pick up stones, and they're ready to rip this girl apart, and Jesus just seems to be unmoved by it, and he's just drawing in the dirt. And as he's doing this, they say, the law says she should be stoned. What do you say? And just, he just continues to draw on the dirt. And Jesus says this, He that is without sin, let him be the one to cast the first stone. And he goes right back to drawing in the dirt. And the scripture's pretty clear that from the oldest to the youngest, they begin to drop their stones and they walk away. Listen, Jesus, he knows that he's got some dirt on us. Like, he knows that there's some things in our life. But here's the great news, that Jesus didn't come to condemn us and to shame us, but he actually came to give his life on behalf of the dirt in our life. And so it's our job as the church, as God's people, that there's people that we're fighting with, and instead we're called to fight for them as Jesus followers. But sometimes I act a lot like Jonah, and I'm fighting with people rather than for people. Let's look at this. Jonah's thrown into the sea and finds mercy in the mouth of a fish. So Jesus, Jonah is thrown into the sea, and yet he's scooped up by a great fish. But how ironic is it that this thing, like, he finds mercy in the mouth of a fish? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but it's amazing that sometimes mercy is messy, isn't it? That sometimes mercy stinks. That there's some things that you think that just really stink in your life, but it's really God's mercy. Like, maybe that she broke up with you. You know, that just might be God's mercy. The fact that you didn't get that job, you know, that might be just God's messy mercy on your life, so on and so forth. And see, sometimes mercy is messy. And what happens? We see that Jonah and God's messy mercy is vomited up onto the shores of Nineveh. And we pick it up in Jonah chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Jonah 3, verse 1, it says this: "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." How many are happy for a do-over, that we get a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance with Almighty God, that you can't outrun the grace of God? And so he says this: "The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Verse 4, Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out," and here's those 8 words, "'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' Verse 5, 'And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them.'" And so I want to examine the people of Nineveh for a moment here. Like, so Jonah found mercy and a do-over. And you know, God loves to send people that have received mercy to show mercy. Jesus will say it a different way, that what he that is forgiven much loves much. And so has God forgiven you a few things? Well, how great is it that he would send us now? Because we must have hearts not like Jonah, but hearts filled with mercy and compassion for people. And I'm going to tell you this, that God has a purpose for your life. He sent you. There's going to be Ninevites in your life that God is sending you to. And I promise you this, that the Ninevites, they're not going to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But you know what they will read? They're going to read you. I love the Apostle Paul. He says this in the book of Corinthians. He says that you and I, we are a letter written by God and read by men. Did you know that? Like, you're a love letter from Almighty God. And so people will read your life. And so God sent Jonah to bad people with good news. God sent Jonah to bad people with good news. Listen, make no mistake about it. The Ninevites were a wicked, wicked, violent group of people. Like, the Ninevites were known for torture and brutal violence. They would amp it up as make it as gory and bloody as possible so as to instill fear in all of their adversaries. And so, in fact, they actually devised the ability to fillet people, to skin them alive for maximum torture, maximum gore, maximum fear. The Ninevites were a bad people, but God sent them there, sent Jonah there with good news. Listen, sometimes, and a moment of transparency, is that, I don't think I'm alone in this. I've had the thought, well, God, just kill the bad people and let the good people live, right? And so when Jonah had that thought, Jonah's like, Lord, just let your people, God's people, Israel, live and kill all the bad people. But you realize that God's done that before. Like, if you've ever read your Bible, that God, he decided he was going to wipe out humanity, but he saved one man and his family, and that man was Noah. And so Noah, and he gets all the animals together. We know the story. God destroys the earth. And what happens once Noah's family sets foot back on the earth? If you just go to ancestry.com or just look in the genealogy in your Bible, that you'll find out that one of Noah's sons was a young man named Ham. And he had a son named Cush. And he had a son named, get this, Nimrod. And Nimrod would build a city. And do you know what that city's name was? That city was Nineveh. See, here's the reality. There are no good people, but there is a good and gracious God. And God, he sends good news to bad people. And listen, Genesis 3, it says this, you know, that something broke inside of humanity, that sin entered the fray, and it broke something on the inside of us. And the picture I want to paint for you this morning is your enemies, like the Ninevites. Listen, they're broken people, and so are you. Like, if you think of the worst people you can imagine in your life, the gangbanger, or if you think of the porn star, or you think of the racist, or you think of whoever you want to think of. Some of you, it's the Democrats or the Republicans, right? Whoever it is. But listen, here's what I tell you. All of those people have a story of brokenness in their past. There's no little girl that grows up and says, oh yeah, I really want to be a porn star one day. They just don't do that. There's brokenness in her heart, and there's brokenness in the world, and it leads to broken things. So I'm going to downshift for a second here. Usually as I film our Sunday service, it's actually on Thursday. And so after this, I'll probably go to the Chick-fil-A at the corner. And have you ever had Chick-fil-A? It is manna from heaven, a gift from Almighty God. But I don't know if you realize this. Did you know that the big three, McDonald's, Starbucks, and Subway, right? Those are the big three. That if you were to combine their revenue per store, that, do you know that Chick-fil-A makes more than all three of them combined? Did I mention that Chick-fil-A, they take Sundays off? Why? To honor God and to love people. And so I want to share this with you. Do you know that one of the core values for Chick-fil-A is to serve and to honor people, to add value to people's life? And so in their Chick-fil-A training program, they show this little video, and it's this. They want to help people understand that you're not just dealing with an order or a customer. That customer is a person, and every person has a story. Thank you. I tear up every time I watch that stupid video. but it should let us know that the people we collide with in life, that everyone has a story. Those people that get on your nerves and bug you, that they have a story to their life. And you know what? The Ninevites, they had a story. Did you know a little history background that prior to Jonah coming to Nineveh, that they suffered two brutal plagues, that the plagues hit Assyria and the Ninevites, and so they lost tremendous life. That, do you know, right around the same time that there was a solar eclipse, and it terrified the people because they thought that the gods were angry. And then get this, if this doesn't just put a cherry on top of it, is that they worshiped the god Dagon. And Dagon was half fish and half man. And so you can imagine when the people of Nineveh see a man vomited out of the mouth of a great fish. Do you understand now why their hearts were probably very, very receptive to the words of Jonah? And as I think about our culture and our world today, we agree we've been through a lot. Like this global pandemic, social unrest, just a firestorm politically. And there's just, it seems like it's coming nonstop. And if the Ninevites in their day were prepared for the good news of the gospel, how much more the people in our world today, the people, we are ready for the good news of Jesus Christ here in Northern New Jersey and around the world. We're ready for good news. I'm reminded of in John chapter 4, Jesus says, look around you. Like, look around you. The fields are ripe for harvest. But he says this, that the fields are ripe, but the laborers, they're few. But every nation, New Jersey, we are going to answer the call of God, and we are going to answer our mission and be called out to a world that's ripe for the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be life speakers, and we're going to share the good news of Jesus Christ, because you and I were Jonah, called to broken people. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I'll read it for you. It says this, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. So get this, the Ninevites repented, and it says this, that Jonah was furious about it. So let me read that again. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. I don't know if you're like me, but I read that and I wish God would have answered Jonah's prayer. Yes, Lord, please kill that fool. but the reality is this. I'm that fool. I'm Jonah sometimes, pouting, complaining, not liking the way God's running the universe. And so I'm so grateful that God was merciful to the Ninevites, but more so to Jonah. And so I think we learned so much about the nature of God, that there's a swath of people out there that they just see God, Almighty God, as someone who's cruel, judgmental, vindictive, that he's an angry old man with a beard and a club just waiting to make people suffer. And yet Jonah, the prophet who knew God, spoke to God and on behalf of God, he saw God very, very different. Did you remember what we read? He says, God, I knew you were going to forgive them. I knew it. You're so compassionate. You're so merciful. You're so long-suffering. I knew you were going to forgive them, and that's why I didn't want to go. And so that's a little bit different take on Almighty God, and that's a God I want to worship and I want to serve. And so, and listen, for those of you listening to this story, please, a bunch of crazy Christians think a giant fish ate a guy and blah, blah, blah. Like, listen, you might think Jonah's a made-up story. I got news for you. Jesus didn't think it was a made-up story. In fact, Jesus is going to quote the book of Jonah, and he's going to go so far as to say this. Jonah, he says, I'm Jonah. I'm the greater Jonah. If I can read to you Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 40, Jesus says this, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." Did you hear what Jesus said? Me? I'm Jonah, and he's come to save. And I got news for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, maybe you've been running away from God, or you've heard of Jesus, but you just thought he was this vindictive and judgmental God that would never receive you. Well, I got news for you that Jesus is the Jonah that went to the cross, that he was not in the belly of a fish, but he went into the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and he rose again. And he was signifying the fact that he has paid the price for your sins. And if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and more importantly, as your King and your Lord, I'm going to pray for you right now. And so if you'd like to receive Jesus, you can repeat after me, or you can just say amen. Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner in need of your saving grace. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that this morning, will you just put in the chat box a big hearty amen? And listen, there may be some of you here this morning that you already know Jesus, but you resonate with Jonah. And I think all of us, after reading through the scriptures today, I know I can see some Jonah in my heart. And I'm going to pray for you this morning and for myself. And so, Lord, we just declare, Lord, we see that there's some ugly parts in our heart. I thank you for the mirror that the book of Jonah is to show us the ugly spaces, Lord. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that we would be like the greater Jonah, that we would be like Jesus, that you would give us a heart that loves what you love and hate what you hate. And now, Lord, send us out like you did Jonah, God, with a word of life and a word of good news in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, the sermon's done, but we're not quite finished. Two quick reminders is, number one, if you're in need of prayer or just would like to speak to a pastor, we have our virtual hospitality ministry Zoom call that immediately following this broadcast, there'll be a slide that comes up with our virtual Zoom ministry number. And you can just call in and speak with one of our pastors on staff. That'll start at 11 a.m. And as well, I want to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving. And if you're not familiar, the tithe simply means a tenth. And God says that the first tenth of everything that comes in belongs to him. And so we gladly give back to him the tenth. And we believe that God will richly bless the rest of it on our behalf. And so if this ministry has been a blessing to you, there's three ways that you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit on the giving icon. Or you can text. It's the way my family and I give. You just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977. And lastly, you can mail in your tithe or your offering right here to our church at 101 Gibraltar Drive here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. Listen, God loves you, and I think you're pretty amazing too. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.